Welcome to Walk in the Truth podcast. How do we know where to find answers to the toughest questions in life? While the simplest answer is the Bible, where do we start this search and how do we discover this truth? Today, in this teaching podcast, John Metter, lead pastor of Cross City Church, takes a specific text of the Bible and helps us find truth for the life we're searching for.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning. It's been a great morning already, seeing people be baptized, great prayer time, great worship time, hearing about a great ministry like MCWC, and now we get to get into the Word. Please take your Bibles to my favorite chapter in the whole Bible, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Some of us may have a debate about what the most favorite chapter in the Bible is, but today, Romans chapter 8 is my favorite chapter. So Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. We're in our series, our vision series actually, it's called We Are. When we talk about who we are, we talk about relating well to God and others, like the great commandment Jesus gave us. We talk about engaging with people that are far from God, because that's the mandate for being ambassadors for Christ. And then we need to talk about the word adopt. What does it mean to adopt one another? Not talking about biological adoption at this moment, but spiritual adoption. How do we adopt each other just as God the Father adopted us? And that's why we're in Romans 8 today. Would you please stand with me as we read God's word? And I have to tell you today will be the longest passage I've read in quite some time where you have to stand through it all. Now, you ought to be glad that I'm not reading all of chapter 8 of Romans, because it goes even further. But I want you to see what's going on in Romans chapter 8 as we get to that key passage around about verse 15. But as we see the groundwork for it, it's going to make sense to you as we walk through. So Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You're going to see all kinds of benefits of being a Christ follower through this. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. It does not subject itself to the law of God. It's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, which happens to every born-again believer. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit which dwells in you. You get the idea of all the power that God gives us through the indwelling Spirit. So then, brethren, we are not under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery. Here's our key verse. You've not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out. Say these two words with me. Abba, Father. What a passage. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also. Heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. But the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans, we're feeling this right now, groans, and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. This is eternity he's talking about now. For in hope we've been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we've hoped for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. Big text, lots of great stuff. Father, in Jesus' name, speak to us through this text, through these words. Help us to grasp all that it means to be in you, in Christ Jesus, to be adopted by you as our Heavenly Father, enabling us to cry out, Abba, Father. Help us to grasp that today, to embrace that, to live by that. I ask this in the name of Jesus, I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated if you would. All right, takes 10 minutes to read something. It takes even longer to preach it, so hang on. Lots of great things today. You know, we have that R-E-A-L that we put in front of you over recent weeks, and that's just really the statement that we use a lot to describe our priorities. I've already talked about relating well to God and others, engaging with people far from God, and then the word adopt has to do with how we adopt each other just as Christ adopted us, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 15, to the tune of being able to say, Abba, Father. What an incredible intimacy we have in the body of Christ. And we're looking at those priorities. You know, one of my favorite pastimes in the past, back during the mall generation. Do you know what I mean when I say the mall generation? I mean that era of time where people would go to the mall. Do you remember Black Friday after Thanksgiving when you go to the mall at 4:30 in the morning? And I only did that one time, and my wife and I looked at each other and said, never again may we do that. Never again. And we've kept that promise. I used to be in the mall. Everybody went, and there were these wooden benches placed everywhere in the mall. And the only people that ever sat on those benches were of the male species. The men were sitting there. Because actually, it doesn't really motivate a man to shop and to go buy things, but it does motivate the woman. So those wives would go shopping, and the men would sit there on those benches while those wives went and shopped. And I remember being in those benches a number of times. And one of my favorite things to do is to watch families as they walk past. Usually a mom and a dad, maybe a couple of kids. And being able to recognize that that was really their child. I mean, you see the facial features and say, oh, that definitely the mom and the daughter there. I love to see the resemblance between moms and daughters. Or you see a young boy and you see his reflection of his dad as they walk together in the mall. Or usually sat on the bench waiting for mom to come out of the store at the mall. And I just love to see. I love to see it even more in grandkids, as you see these grandkids thinking, oh, even another generation, we reflect the DNA of grandmother and granddad and mom and dad. And I want to get you thinking that way because you reflect the DNA of Jesus Christ when you come to him. Amen. And you have the DNA of every great believer that's ever walked before God. All the great ones that we talk about, read about in the Bible, you have that same DNA, and your Heavenly Father, your Abba Father, has passed that on to you. And part of what we have in Romans chapter 8 is that incredible likeness of the Father in our lives. Amen. And the incredible family that we are together as we come into the body of Christ. So obviously in a passage like this, I'm going to have to do a little summarizing, and so I'm going to do that. But I just want you to have, as we start this, the idea that no matter what our background, no matter what our color, no matter what our height or age or what our way of thinking is, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're brought into the same DNA, the same family, the same Heavenly Father who is our God. And I want you to keep that with you as you walk through this morning, because I want you to know that as you sit in this worship center today, you're seated next to true brothers and sisters in Christ. These are not just acquaintances. These are not just co-workers or someone you volunteer with. These are literally sons and daughters of God who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. We need to see it that way. Amen. So as you look at this text today, notice several things that I'll point out. First of all, Paul says we have the same salvation, the very same salvation. All of us have the same salvation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is such a great verse to start this with. And really, everything Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is based on Romans 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus does the incredible work of sacrifice on the cross on our behalf. So Paul begins by saying, therefore, because of all this, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How many in this room know that phrase by heart? Would you raise your hand if you know it by heart? I know it by heart. And there are times when the enemy accuses me, and times when I think about my imperfections and my sin or my rebellion, my disobedience in some way. And I'm so grateful to come back to the cross and back to Romans 8:1 to be reminded that there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Think about the author for a moment, Paul the Apostle, who before he was Paul the Apostle was Saul the persecutor. The persecutor of the church. He was, as I call him, a religious terrorist. And we first learn about Saul as he's holding the coat of those stoning the disciple named Stephen in the book of Acts. But he is encountered by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, begins to be a follower of Jesus Christ, begins to understand that all his sins are paid for. And now he says to all of us, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Paul needed a lot of forgiveness, and he got a lot of forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of us have dramatic stories. I don't know if we can match Paul's. But most of us have stories that are somewhat less dramatic, quieter stories. But we were all separated at an equal distance from God when we were in sin. And that's why it's so incredibly important for us to understand that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, this two-word description applies to every one of us. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. But I also want you to see this. In those first few words, Paul also says, not only is there no condemnation, but he says this applies to all who are in Christ Jesus. All of us. Now, I love that phrase because it says that I have the same kind of salvation as the Apostle Paul. The same kind. The same grace. The same amount of grace. The same reality of God as my Father as this man who tells me that I can cry out, Abba, Father. This man that I esteem and revere so much, I have the same kind of faith as he does, and so do you. Amen. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter himself says it. Simon Peter, the passage says, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, these are the names of people that we admire. People that are in the scripture, people that God worked through in supernatural ways, amazing ways. And we sometimes have the tendency to think, well, I mean, God did that in Peter's life. He did that in Paul's life. I'm not sure he can do that with me. But here's what Peter said about it. He said, to those who have received faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He puts everybody on the same level. That means you're on the same level as the Apostle Peter. I'm on the same level as that same man. And every hero of the faith that you can read about in the Bible, they have no more grace and no more faith than you have. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, he brings you into that great crowd of fellowship. You've got what Billy Graham had. You've got what Tim Keller had. I've got what you have, and you have what I have. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's the same kind of faith. When I was growing up, I have a younger brother whose name is Matthew, and Matt is his name that we call him by. And Matt was somehow a little less, I'd say he was a little bit less trouble than I was when I was growing up. Somehow I always found myself in trouble, always saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing. And Matt kind of towed the line a little bit better, at least in front of Mom and Dad. He kind of kept the reels a little bit better. And I remember saying to him, because he got in trouble far less than I did, I remember saying to him, Mom loves you best. Mom loves you best. And that's really evident because you never get in trouble. And I thought about that the other day when I was thinking about the fact that in the end game, my mom loved each of us equally. And I think in the end, God the Heavenly Father loves every single one of you just as much as he loved Paul, Peter, or anybody else. And I want you to let that sink in for just a moment today. You are God's favorite. There are no other favorites. He loves you with an everlasting love. Paul starts this chapter by saying, make sure you know where you're standing. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So let me just pause long enough to say that if you've put your faith in Christ Jesus, you are now in Christ Jesus and have everything Romans 8 talks about. And if you're religious but have never put your faith in Christ Jesus, today's the day. Today's the day you move from religion or trying to do the right thing by yourself and place it in Jesus Christ, and you have the same kind of faith as Paul and Peter and everyone else that is in Christ Jesus. Such a big thing. So first of all, we have the same kind of faith, and that makes us family. But we also have the same kind of power. You'll notice as we walk through much of the passage that I read, just couldn't cut it out, just couldn't leave it out. So many lessons about what we have in the way of power. In verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." And just begins verse after verse to name those things. Now, I've had placed on the screen today 6 things that happen when we come to faith in Jesus. That's just found here in Romans chapter 8. And I won't spend a great deal of time on it because there are so many things I could say about each one of these. But in verse 2, it tells us that we just read that we've been saved from the power of sin. He frees us from the power, the magnetism, and the bondage of sin. And then in verse 4, it tells us that he pays the price for you. In other words, he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled God's requirement and also took the penalty for breaking the law on himself when he died on the cross, even though he did not break the law. He pays the price. Then thirdly, he gives you peace of mind. Not only the mind of life, but peace with God. When you have peace with God, you can have peace with anybody. He gives you the power to do that. Fourthly, he indwells you. He's not only with you, but he's in you, and he's dwelling inside of us with his Spirit's power. Number 5, he gives you spiritual life. And by that, we don't mean like biological life, but the essence of life, Zoe, the essence of life that shows you purpose and meaning. And finally, he leads you, divinely leads you. Listen, we're in this family when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, where not only do we have the same kind of faith, the same kind of power is also at work in us. That means we need to be helping one another understand, here's how the Holy Spirit's power in me helps me deal with each day. And then you need to help me know something else about how God works in your life. That's what family does. We talk about the ways to successfully live the Christian life. But we all have the same faith. We all have the same power when we come to Jesus. A number of years ago, an older preacher came to preach at our church, and one of the things he did was he preached about 45 things that happen when you come to Christ. And I remember recording most of those. Later on, I asked him to fill in the blanks for me, and I got all 45 typed out on a little piece of paper and taped into one of my older Bibles, 45 things that happen when you come to Christ. And as I grew and as I matured, as I got older, I realized there are a whole lot more than 45 things that happen when you come to Christ. And I'd have to keep adding to that. And I've still got that in my Bible. But we could talk all day about what happens when you come to faith in Jesus Christ. Being a part of the family of God means you have everything you need. Peter said, you've been given all things pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him. So you need to know today, being part of the family means the same faith, same power. But ultimately, we have to get to this text that's so important in verse 15. The same Father, the same Father. Look in verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, talking about the whole body of Christ, we cry out, Abba, Father. This is such a great word. Abba is such an amazing word. It's an Aramaic word, actually. And it's used by Jewish children and later on carried into the Greek New Testament because it captured the epitome of intimacy. It was a way of gently saying, as a child might say to the father, Daddy. It literally means, Father, my Father. And that word sounds like Abba. So when you hear the word Abba, you have this incredible permission to approach God, not just as God the Father, not just as the righteous judge on the throne, not just as the one who has all power, the creative voice that made heavens and earth come into being, but you have the power, the ability, even the invitation to come to him and say, Daddy, yes. Abba, yes. Father, amen. And he will hear you. Amen. Now, for some in the room, that makes us a little uncomfortable to be so intimate, so casual, some might say, because we feel like in some way, this keeps us from reverencing who God really is. But when you have it from Paul, when you have it from Jesus, when you have it from the Bible, you're called to learn what this intimacy is all about. Right. Jesus himself, when he was in prayer in Mark chapter 14, verse 36, the verse tells us, and he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. And now we're being told to say that. One of my favorite YouTube videos is the video of a young girl, about 8 or 9 years old. She never knew who her mom and dad were. and a young couple adopt her. And first they were in the fostering process, and it seemed like it was a great match. And then they went to court. There were a lot of questions whether the court would grant full custody to these parents. And she wanted it to happen, but they had to wait it out. And so this video is of that moment where they bring her in, set her down at the table, and this mom and this dad push papers across the table and say to her, "Honey, the judge has granted custody to us. We are now your mom and dad." And the little girl just spontaneously jumped up. Her dad was closest to her and threw her arms around his neck and said, "Daddy," at that moment. And hey, watch that. Amen. Amen. We should celebrate that. Let's celebrate that for a moment. Because that's what happens. That's what happens when you know all of a sudden you have a father. You belong to someone and someone belongs to you. And this is what Jesus is telling us. And this is what Paul is telling us. That we have the spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, "Abba, Father." It's massive. It's huge. By the time you get to Ephesians, Paul says it this way. He says, "So you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household." That's who we are. He's Abba, Father. Now, we understand this in a personal way. I've told so many stories about my kids over the years, and my kids call me various things depending on what's going on, right? I've been father a few times, and a few times I've been dad, and lately here it's daddy. I know one of my daughters wants me to do something on her house when she uses the word daddy. "Daddy, would you help me with that?" So I just kind of have that every once in a while. The boys don't say it like that. They say "Pa." I don't know if it's Old West. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm Pa to them. But we had a granddaughter, and that little granddaughter is now talking. In fact, she hasn't stopped talking since she started talking. So she came from the verbal side of the family. And at first, we didn't know what she would call me. And I gave her all kinds of suggestions, and she couldn't say any of them at first. And finally, she landed on a word, and that word is the word "big," B-I-G. I am big. I am big to her. And one day, she said, "You're big," and I've been big ever since. And when that 2.5-year-old little girl asked Big to do something, I'll do whatever she wants me to do. She's the only one that could really say that to me. Now, this is the heart of what the Father is telling us in the Scriptures about your relationship with Him. Yes. It's not irreverent to say, "Father, Daddy, Abba." You've been commanded to do that. Amen. To have the kind of relationship where that intimacy is absolutely expected. Yes. And the Bible tells us in that same passage, we're children, we're heirs, we're joint heirs. So I have a question for you today, a very important question that I want to ask you, and that is, do you know Him as Abba? Do you know Him as your Heavenly Father? Or is He just so distant you can't even imagine that? And I will tell you today, putting your faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, brings you close in a way you can't even imagine. In fact, in John chapter 1, John said about Jesus, he said, "Those who received Jesus, those who received Him, we're given the right to be called the children of God, even those who believe in His name." So we have this calling on our life that we are family and God calls us family. Now in our church, we use the word "adopt" to not only reflect the fact that we are all adopted by God, but that we also have a responsibility as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ to live out faith with each other, towards each other by the power of God. I love that when we baptize today, and when we baptize someone, I always say these words. I say, "I baptize you, my sister, and I baptize you, my brother," depending on who's in the baptistry. It's not because I'm related to them biologically. It's because they put their faith in Jesus Christ, and in the eyes of God and the eyes of the church, they are legitimately my brother or sister in Christ. And it's not just a thing we say, it's a thing we believe. We believe that we are called to adopt people and help them grow to maturity. And we believe those people that we adopt help us grow to maturity. That the body of Christ is so much more than attending a service and going home unchanged. It means that we come together, come to know each other, and grow together. I know we're all members of different things in life. Some of you are Costco members, and you go to Costco all the time, and you flash the Costco card, and I've been to Costco a few times. I remember one time I went expecting to buy some blueberries and coming home with two Lazy Boy recliner chairs. I didn't know that was going to happen, but it was such a good deal, right? Yeah. I'm an honorary member of Chick-fil-A. I've got the app. I've got all kinds of gift cards for Chick-fil-A. They know me by my first name at my Chick-fil-A, not one that I own, but one I go to all the time, right? I'm a member of the health club, and I'm asked frequently if I want to participate in other ways. They know my name when I walk in. They see me frequently enough. They say, hi, John. And one day I was asked to join a women's hot yoga group, which I turned down conveniently. I was busy that day. They care about you. They want you to lose weight, get in shape. But membership in the body of Christ is so much more important than that. Because membership in the body of Christ says we have the same faith, we have the same power, we have the same Father, we know we'll have the same destination. We ought to help one another grow together to be the most successful Christ followers on the planet. Not as performance, but as helping one another be those members of the body of Christ. The relationships in the body of Christ are so incredibly important because people know you and they support you, and sometimes they correct you, but they always help you grow. It's a challenging aspect of family that's best lived out in the body of Christ. It was Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that said the Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to him. I need to hear that. You need to hear that. So I want to encourage you today that be in the body of Christ. Be a part of the family of God. So we have the same faith. We have the same power. We have the same Father. Finally, we have the same future. Paul ends this chapter moving towards the future. He says in verse 16, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. Excuse me, that's verse 18. In other words, Paul is saying, look, no matter what your present day is like, the future is going to be so much better for you. You can't even compare present with future. Yeah. You know, we're fond of the phrase, you have to compare apples with apples, right? And basically what's happening here in this text is that you can't do that with present and with future in the body of Christ. It's not comparing a bad day to a good day. You can't compare a moment with an eternity. It's just so massively different. It's like the pain of labor and childbirth being compared to holding the precious baby. Jesus actually said this in John 16 when he was getting his disciples ready for his own departure. He said, whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now. Amen. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you then. Amen. John Piper, in the way that only John Piper can say, worded it this way. The suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed. Not because suffering is small, but because glory is so great. Amen. I think that's a phenomenal line. Yes, that is. The future that every believer has in Jesus Christ is incredible because your Abba Father is preparing for you on that day. Amen. Preparing the mansions in heaven that will be ours one day as we have fellowship with him that's unbroken. We'll be in his presence. Yes. The book of Revelation says we won't even need the sun or the moon because the light, the brilliant light of his glory will light everything up. What an amazing kind of thing that we look ahead to. This past week I talked to some people that had lost a loved one at a very early age. And I ministered to them and tried to bring comfort to them. And then I went away and sat down and thought, you know, we put so much into here and now. We say things like, if only they could have had another 10 years, 5 years. We say things like, if only I could be a little healthier, a little better well off, more well off. If only I could only get this thing behind me, then I would really have it good. And what Paul is saying is, while you're on this earth, it's never going to be ideal. It's never going to be perfect. In fact, all the things that you think about while you're here on earth are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed. And one day, all the pain that you have now will be swallowed up by all the glory that God gives us and surrounds us when we're in that place with Him forever and ever and ever. So it's important to have perspective, family. Listen, you are the family of God. He's got a place for you. A future world awaits you. And there's more in your future than ever could have been in your past. Paul is saying, we're family. And God is taking care of us and will take care of us. And even though the world around us is groaning, creation groans, the scripture says, there's the heartbreak, there's the tragedy, there's bloodshed, there's murder, there's all kinds of division, all kinds of problems. But the Bible tells us that creation feels it just like we feel it. But one day, He'll heal it all with His brilliance, with His glory, with His purity, with His perfection. And you and I will also have perfect bodies one day. I'm looking forward to that day where we have a perfect body and a perfect place. So, brother and sister, let me tell you this. As brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, if your life is hard right now, let me tell you, you're part of a family that understands that and also understands that better things are coming. If you're finding it difficult sometimes in some areas of your life, keep in mind, we who have the same faith as you have in Jesus Christ are walking beside you, walking behind you, helping you every step of the way. We have the same power that God has given you. We have the same Heavenly Father that we pray to on your behalf sometimes. And we have the same future together. We are family. And God has placed us together as members of the body of Christ. I leave you with this last line. Because this last line is the line I want you to have echoing in your mind. And when you pray, and when you think about your relationship with God, I want this line to be on the screen and to remind. We cry out, Abba, Father. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment, close your eyes. You know, today is such an important day for you. If those words seem so foreign and if they seem so different from what you know a relationship with God is like, because this is an opportunity for you today to put your faith and trust in Christ if you never have. You remember that first line of that first verse we read? Those who are in Christ Jesus. If you've never put your faith in Christ Jesus, I want to lead you in a prayer right now. And as I lead you in that prayer, I want you just to call out to Him. It can be silently, or you can pray out loud. You can whisper it, or you can be vocal. But whatever it is, He knows your mind, knows your heart. Put your faith and trust in Him. This is the prayer I want you to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today I understand what You've given to us through Jesus. And now for the first time, I want to put my faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross. I ask You to forgive me of sin. Give me this gift of eternal life. Give me the power of Your Holy Spirit inside. And today I want to know You as Abba, Father. Thank You for this gift. And that I turn my back on my life before I have had You. I choose to pursue You from this day forward. And I thank You for this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, look this way with me for just a moment. If you pray that prayer, I would love to talk to you. All you have to do is text me. If you take your phone, text the word commit to 28363. Commit 28363. Every week people put their faith and trust in Christ. And we love to connect with them and help them know what the next steps are. In just a few moments, as you do that, in just a few moments, I want to invite you to a couple of things. First of all, we'll have a prayer team here at the front. We would love for you to take advantage of these prayer warriors, these intercessors who are going to come with you to the Father and pray for needs that you have in your life. So I invite you to come and let them minister to you in prayer. Secondly, if you're a guest, I would love to invite you to guest reception, which is just outside the center exit doors and across the hallway. Let me share a few things with you about what God is doing here at Cross City Church. Then thirdly, I invite you to come back next week for a very, very special service where we focus on that last part, what it means to lead and serve the Lord. What a great thing it is to be able to do that. So would you stand with me for this final word of prayer? Father, I am so grateful for every person in this room, every one of us coming from different places, backgrounds. Every one of us could be brought near, close together in the same faith with Jesus Christ. I pray for those that have made this decision today. Others that are learning to grow with family. Father, move in our lives in a powerful way. Teach us what it means to have Your power living within us. Help us to follow You with a whole heart. Thank you, Father, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.